So as the title says, we're going to talk about loving our neighbor as ourselves, but we're going to do a little tweak on that, and we're going to focus on ourselves. And you're probably going to say, what kind of church is this? Today we're going to talk about loving yourself. But bear with me. It's going to make sense, I hope, at some point. So our first scripture we're going to look at is in Luke chapter 10, verses 25 to 27. And this captures the theme that we've had of the greatest commandment. And we've had some great messages from Reggie, the other Reggie, Denton, and there's more to come. As well as the Spanish brothers and sisters when they did their rendition of the greatest commandment as well. So starting in verse 25, the Bible reads, "On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up and test Jesus. 'Teacher,' he asked, 'what must I do to inherit eternal life?' 'What is written in the law?' he replied. 'How do you read it?' He answered, 'Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself.' 'You have answered correctly,' Jesus replied. 'Do this, and you will live.'" Like I said previously, we generally associate self-love with selfishness. But the Bible is saying here that we're to love our neighbors as ourselves. So that infers at some point that we have to have some sort of love for ourselves. So let's look at and get the right perspective on how scripturally that may look. My first point is, number one, have a sober estimate of yourself. I mean, nothing is cluttering it. This is clear. There's nothing else skewing it. A sober estimate of yourself. And in Genesis chapter 1, starting in verse 27, and we also read 31a, it says, "So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them." And I love verse 31a. It says, "God saw all he made, and it was very good." It wasn't just good, it was very good. God said, "Look at what I have created. It is amazing." And in Psalm 139, 14a, David says, "I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made." And then Peter goes a little further, and I didn't have this up there, but I'll read it. In 1 Peter 2:9, it says, "You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light." Now, these scriptures show that we are valued and precious to God. We're made in his image. And God doesn't think that he creates junk. He said, "What I've made is very good." And as we should view ourselves as such. Now, that goes and conflicts with everything and all the messages that you've grown up with, stereotypes, what the media says, etc. And that was, Khadisha mentioned actually some of that when she was up here. All the negative messages, you're to this, you're to that, you're to this, you're this. You know, you have all these labels before we were even 10 years old. We've got all these labels, ADHD, ADD, all this, troubled child, whatever. And we believe these. You know, your brain is very impressionable. So you grow up hearing you're stupid, you're whatever, you're this, you're that, the other. But if we look at what God says that we're fearfully and wonderfully made. It says that we're chosen, we're royal, we're special, you know? And I think the thing is, self-image is important because how we think about ourselves affects how we feel about ourselves and how we interact with others in the world around us. If you go out there thinking you're not worthy, that reflects in everything you do. If you go out there thinking I'm a piece of garbage, that reflects in everything you do, the decisions you make, the choices you make, how you treat people, how you allow people to treat you, all of that stuff. So the point of view really matters. So, there is actually a syndrome. I'm not a clinician, so don't quiz me on this. My wife would do a better job with that. But there's a syndrome called imposter syndrome. So imposter syndrome is when you doubt your own skills and successes, even when you're successful. You feel that you're not as talented or worthy as others believe, and you're scared that one day people will realize that. It's actually called imposter syndrome. So you have people that are super talented, doing all this wonderful stuff, very accomplished, but they think they're an absolute fraud. You know? And so the self-image and what you think about yourself matters. If God says that what he created was very good, believe him. If God says that you're special, believe it. You know? And the thing is, we're battling all the time with everything else that tells us the opposite. So if we're going to love ourselves, we got to have a sober estimate of ourselves. We actually got to believe that what God says is true. Now, I love this poem from, I saw it first in, I don't know if it's a poem, but it's taken from a book by Marianne Williamson. And so it's adapted from a passage written. And when I heard this, I was like, wow, this is so true. It says, our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It is our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us. We ask ourselves, who am I to be brilliant, gorgeous, talented, fabulous? Actually, who are you not to be? Your playing small does not serve the world. We were born to make manifest the glory of God that is within us. And as we let our own light shine, we unconsciously give other people permission to do the same. So it's a question of, you know, how are we viewing ourselves? You know, God created us, and what God created is amazing. When you go out and you look up at the sky, when you look up at all of the stuff that God's created, after God created us, he said, what I've done is really good. But when you look up at the sky, you look up at the, you know, whatever, if you're in the gardening and you see seed grow, all of this other stuff, we are part of God's creation. And what God's created is very good. So my challenge to you, or encouragement, is to believe God. You know, believe what God says. You know, just some practicals that you can have, and we'll go on to our second point, is to have some affirmations. You know, you get up in the morning, remind yourself, you know, that you're created in the image of God. You know, look at other people and realize that they're also created in the image of God. So if we're to love our neighbors as ourselves, we need to first have a sober estimate. The second point is to have a heart. And, you know, I was thinking about the Tin Man, the Wizard of Oz. If I only had a heart. He actually had it all along. And the scripture that we're going to look at is John chapter 11, verses 32 to 35. It says, when Mary reached the place where Jesus was, and a little context here, this is when Lazarus died and Jesus was going to the funeral. Jesus knew what he intended to do. He intended to raise Lazarus. He knew all of that. But when he reached there, he was in the middle of the funeral session. It says, when Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. Where have you laid him? He asked. Come and see, Lord, they replied. In verse 35, which is, I believe, the shortest verse in the Bible says Jesus wept. And the point that I want to make here is, okay, we're created and we have emotions. God has given us emotions. Now, I mean, again, my wife is a clinician. There are situations where you have people that maybe are not able to feel empathy and different things like that. But for the most part, people have emotions that they feel every day, and you will feel till the day you die. So you're mad, you may feel angry, upset, ashamed, embarrassed. It's really important that you identify and you feel your emotions. The examples that we see in the scriptures, David is great at showing all the ranges of emotion, from anger to elation to sadness to embarrassment to fear, all of it. You see it when you read the Psalms. When you read about David in his time when he was ruling Israel, he went through the whole range of emotions, and God has given us those emotions. Now, the scripture also talks about how we need to handle them and different ways to handle them. So the point that I want to make is definitely when you feel things, okay, deal with them in a godly manner. Take time to process your feelings and emotions. Bring them before God in prayer. Journal your thoughts if you need to. You know, and this is part of my practical. Journal your thoughts. Talk to a mature Christian friend or counselor and let them know how you're feeling and what's going on in terms of your emotions. And when necessary, and if necessary, seek professional help. Because you may be going through some things that I'm not able to deal with, but there's enough of a body of knowledge and professionals out there where you can get the help that you need. But realize that you're an emotional being, and if you're going to be healthy, if you're going to take care of yourself, then you need to learn how to live and deal with the emotions that God, by the way, gave you. So don't stuff them. Don't deny them. They're real. And if you don't deal with them in the right way, they will manifest in ways that may not be healthy. Okay, so definitely you want to go ahead and make sure that you're dealing with your emotions in the proper way. And so I don't think I put this scripture up there, but Philippians 4, verses 4 to 7 is a great scripture that really talks about some practicals in terms of emotions. It says, starting in verse 4, it says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about everything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." So definitely this is an area to focus on as part of loving ourselves, is really working through understanding, dealing with the fact that we're emotional beings. My next point is be mindful. Now there's a lot of buzz, this is a buzzword, mindfulness, be mindful. And I remember my wife showed me a picture of mindful versus mindful, two L's I believe it is, but mindful. So one, you had a picture of someone that was mindful and they were focused on a tree. It was one tree. And the next person, they're looking at the same tree, but their mind was full. And you had a tree and you had things over here and things are just cluttered with different stuff. Their mind was literally full. As opposed to someone that's mindful that looks over here, they see the tree. The mindful person looks over here and sees about 100 million different things. So let's be mindful. And the scripture that I want to look at is in Philippians 4:8. And especially in light of the climate that we're in right now, you know, politics and geopolitical issues and all this stuff going on, Philippians 4:8 says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Now, why do I say that? Because in a millisecond, if you were to go on the internet, the first things you will see will be how many people have died, who's killed who, who's doing what, who's divorced, who's that, who's hating on who's hating back on who, all of this stuff. It's just, it's not even, you know, in the old, maybe 20 years ago or 25 years ago, when you had news, you had maybe a small segment. Now you have a deluge of news, some of it credible, some of it fake. You've had situations where people have put things on the internet that were not real, that had people losing their mind for something that's not even real. And with AI, you can do this magnified 100 times more. So you got to be careful, and you got to really guard your mind in terms of what you are opening yourself up to. So your brain is amazing, but it's also easily influenced. So the sad songs that I'm listening to, the songs with, you know, racy lyrics, violent lyrics, the movies that I'm watching, you can that's how, when we turn on and watch something, we look at the rating. Language, violence, sex, sexual situations, nudity, etc. Okay, we're not watching this. Language, okay, maybe I can deal with the language. Maybe not, depends. But you have to make a choice, and you have to actually look at what you are consuming. When you are staring at that screen all the time, and everywhere you go all the time, everyone is staring at this all the time. And it's influencing you, and it's going into your mind, and it's competing with the things that we should be focused on. You know, glorifying God, edifying ourselves through the scriptures, encouraging one another daily, all of that stuff. The things that we're supposed to do, it's getting knocked out of there by all of this other stuff, right? So what the Bible talks about is you choose what your influence is going to be. And what the Bible's talking about is whatever is pure, noble, lovely, admirable. Think about these things, you know? And why is that important? Because your mentality, your mindset will be influenced by what you are focused on. So my encouragement to you in terms of practical is, be selective about what you allow your mind to consume. And also, take a break. Occasionally, just take a break from media. Substitute it with something else. Like, I've discovered gardening. So at 6 o'clock in the morning, I get up and I go out in the backyard and I cut some kale, which I've started growing, or I cut some cucumbers or something. And it's amazing to be out there before anyone else is up and just see the sun coming up, or let's look at the birds, or all of this stuff before I dive into what's going on in the world. You know, and sometimes I'll skip the whole day, and I figure if something serious is happening, I'll get an alert, or someone else will call me about it. But if I can choose, I'll choose, you know what, let me focus on what I choose to focus on. So be mindful, okay? And my last point is one body. I wasn't sure how to actually frame this point. I just said one body. I figured that's an easy one. In 1 Corinthians 6, verses 19 to 20, it says, do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. And so this scripture talks about stewardship. Now, for most people, if someone gives you something and they say, look, this is very precious to me, you'll probably go out of your way to make sure that you take care of it. You don't want to get a dent on it. You don't want it to get scratched or any of that other stuff, right? if someone else gives it to us, you know, we value that because they're saying, this is valuable to me. So the scripture is saying that, look, your body is not your own. God gave it to you. You know, and that we are to honor God with our bodies. Now, I'm not going to go into a whole thing on, you know, fitness, wellness, all that, you know, a deep dive. But I think the thing that I've definitely learned is that wherever I am, that I need to strive to be the best version of myself. You know, if God says, look, I gave you this body, you know, take care of it. What I've definitely learned to do more is to listen to the people that know about the body. So if my doctor says this is what I need to do, then that's what I need to do. You know, or at least to try to do the best that I can to follow the doctor's instruction. You know, if you have a personal trainer, some of you, or something like that, or a nutritionist, or what have you, they may have input for you in terms of this is how you need to act or eat or whatever. And I can't say what it is for everyone because they have different people in different situations. Some people have some serious issues where the ideal situation, they're not going to be running in the Olympics or whatever, but wherever you are, and I love the point that Stephen made last week, you know, about, you know, wherever you are, just water the grass that you have right in front of you. Instead of looking at the grass that's greener on the other side, start from where you are and focus on being the best version with what you have of yourself. Just here's a point for you. We live in the most wealthy country on the face of the earth of all times. We have access to more knowledge than anyone has ever had at any time to make the best choices ever. We have so much knowledge, we don't know what to do with it. We have all of this. So what we do with it is our choice. You know, now that may change. We may be in a different situation tomorrow, but today, when you have the option, definitely choose the decision that's going to help you to honor your body, honor God with your body. So I think that's it. I wanted to definitely really encourage us that as we go through and we're wrapping up the Greatest Commandment series, that, you know, we learned about loving God, we talked about loving our neighbors, but also it's important that we also focus on, you know, taking care of ourselves so that we can turn around and be a blessing to our neighbors. Because when we're taking care of ourselves, we can be a blessing to our neighbors. You know, we can look at them in the same way that God looks at us, that we understand that God looks at us in terms of a viewpoint, our mindset, our emotions, also how we view and how we honor God with our bodies. So that's it. Thank you so much. Enjoy the rest of the service. And I believe that the last speaker will be Donald Verona in the Greatest Commandment series, or there may be someone else, but definitely looking forward to that. Thank you again.